Good afternoon. First, I apologize that this press conference was delayed. It was very important that the coroner was able to go personally notify the Ford family, so we had to wait for that to happen. We also waited to have the autopsy posted online so that all of you would have at least an opportunity to view it before the press conference, and that's why it took a little longer than we had anticipated. Before we talk about the autopsy release, I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the officer-involved shooting in 77th Division last night. Last night at about 21:30 hours, uniformed 77th officers in a black and white police car were driving southbound on Hoover Street at 62nd. The officers observed muzzle flashes and heard gunshots coming from two male pedestrians. The officers believed that they were the object of an attack and returned fire. Neither the officers nor the suspects were struck by gunfire, and a suspect was captured after a search of the area. A pistol, a rifle, and multiple shell casings were also recovered. This investigation is ongoing, as is the search for the outstanding suspect. Now to the subject at hand. First, it is very important to recognize that an autopsy is a piece of a much larger, more detailed investigation. An autopsy is an important piece. An autopsy shows manner and cause of death. But an autopsy does not prescribe motivation, nor does it indicate propriety. In this case, was it a legal shooting or not? That is not contained in an autopsy, and that is not part of the autopsy format. Earlier this morning, I requested the L.A. County Coroner to remove its security hold on the release of the autopsy report for Ezell Earl Ford. This report sets forth the coroner's anatomic findings of the death of Mr. Ford, who was involved in an altercation with LAPD officers on August 11, 2014, resulting in an officer-involved shooting. We had requested a security hold in order to locate and interview witnesses to the incident who were not influenced by public reports of the coroner's findings. This was necessary to maintain the integrity and reliability of all witness accounts. After several weeks of searching for witnesses and making multiple public appeals for witnesses to come forward, we have determined that it is appropriate to request a release of the security hold at this time. And now a little about the incident, so that you can have some perspective of the coroner's findings. Now again, this is not all the investigation, and it is only the version given to us by the officers. At approximately 8:10 p.m. on August 11th, 2014, two uniformed LAPD officers assigned to Newton Area Gang Enforcement Detail were driving in a marked patrol car westbound on 65th Street when they saw Mr. Ford on an adjacent sidewalk. The officer stopped and got out of their patrol car to speak with him. After looking in the direction of the officers, however, Mr. Ford walked away and the officers observed him attempting to conceal his hands. The officers followed Mr. Ford on the sidewalk to a nearby driveway when Mr. Ford crouched between a car and a row of bushes. One of the officers reached for Mr. Ford when Mr. Ford suddenly turned and grabbed the officer, forcing him to the ground. While on top of the officer, Mr. Ford grabbed the officer's handgun and attempted to remove the gun from the officer's holster. The officer yelled out to his partner that Mr. Ford had his gun. The officer's partner then fired two rounds, striking Mr. Ford. At about the same time, the officer on the ground, while on his back, grabbed his backup weapon, reached around Mr. Ford, and fired one shot at close range, striking Mr. Ford in the back. The officers subsequently took Mr. Ford into custody and requested emergency medical aid from the Los Angeles Fire Department. The LFD paramedics arrived and transported Mr. Ford to California Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at approximately 10 p.m. The coroner's autopsy identified that Mr. Ford's death was caused from a fatal gunshot wound to his right flank and a contact wound to his right back. The coroner also found evidence of a non-fatal gunshot wound to Mr. Ford's right arm. Since the shooting, LAPD investigators have attempted to identify witnesses to the incident and have made multiple appeals to the public for witnesses to come forward. Over the past several months, We also sent written requests to the attorney representing the Ford family in their lawsuit against the city to provide any information that could assist in the investigation. On December 15, 2014, we received a copy of a witness list provided as part of a civil litigation attempt to contact and attempted to contact all the individuals involved. Some of the individuals provided by the Ford's family attorney, however, have refused to be interviewed, and the department continues to search the remaining witnesses. The LAPD Specialized Force Investigation Division, in coordination with the Office of the Inspector General and the LA County District Attorney's Office, continue to investigate this incident and seek the public's help in providing any information that could assist in determining the facts of the case. Once the investigation is completed, the case will be considered by the LA District Attorney's Office and the Board of Police Commissioners. The civilian members of the Board of Police Commissioners will make the final determination whether the officer involved shooting was consistent with LAPD's use of force policy, and the district attorney will make the final determination as to whether or not it met legal standards. We continue to seek the public's assistance. Any information regarding this incident will help us complete this picture. We urge you to come forward, contact the LAPD at numbers provided, or contact the Inspector General's office, or contact the LA District Attorney's office. Any of and all of these entities are involved in this investigation, and will bring that information forward to make it part of the investigational package. This investigation is far from over. We expect it to be another several months before it reaches the police commission, and at that time, we will expect a decision from the district attorney. In the meantime, the officers are assigned non-field duties. And now I'll answer a few questions.
Chief, regarding the one finding on the second shot, the muzzle imprint on the back, is that consistent with what your officers told you, that this struggle was occurring and that it was at close proximity that the gun was discharged?
You know, it is difficult to characterize all of this at this time because the investigation is still ongoing. I will say this, and please pay careful attention to how I say it. There is nothing in the coroner's report that is inconsistent with the statements given to us by the officers. We still are searching for witnesses. We still are looking for other versions of events. But at this point, and this is not a conclusion, this is based on the fact patterns given us by the officers, and then months later, the fact pattern released by the coroner, there is nothing inconsistent in that report.
Regarding the toxicology, there was THC found in Mr. Ford's system, but no other illicit narcotics. Is that also consistent in your opinion?
You know, I have no opinion on that. The officers, to my knowledge, and I have not reviewed this entire investigation yet, made no comment on Mr. Ford's sobriety. So that would be a factor that wasn't nascent to this at this time.
Chief,
yes, Frank.
Was the officer's gun either unhooked or actually out of the holster? Had he actually unhooked it or actually taken it out of the holster?
More details about the condition of the holster and any forensic evidence associated with that will be forthcoming in the entire investigative report. Remember, all LAPD shootings, all officer-involved shootings, the entire investigative report, absent a few redacted names, is posted online by the Inspector General after it is adjudicated by the Board of Police Commissioners. You know, as I've told you before, I try to give as much information as can be helpful so you understand things as they evolve. But until we have spoken to all witnesses involved, until the investigation is completed, I don't want to piecemeal portions of evidence here.
And basically, was it hand movement? Is it the reason they stopped, were seeking to stop him and talk to him? Is that what you're saying? Seems like what they told you.
Well, according to the officers, they observed him make movements that they regarded as suspicious. Now, that will be further vetted in their interviews and in decisions and discussions made by the department's Use of Force Review Board, which looks very closely at how officers get involved in situations and what tactics lead up to it. So there'll be an adjudication and a finding relative to that. And so I don't want to speak to that at this point.
The fact that there is one in the room. Wait, slow down.
I'll answer both your questions. So.
The family just said that.
Ladies first, Claudia.
Oh, thank you. The family said that he was mentally ill, that cops in the area knew it. Do you know if these officers had had any prior dealings with Izzell Ford before the shooting?
You know, again, that's piecemealing from the officer's statements. There's nothing that would indicate to me that they knew anything about his mental condition. Now, that doesn't mean that other officers in the neighborhood didn't. I don't know that. But at this point, I haven't seen anything like that. However, until we not only look at the current interviews, state of interviews by the officers, but any re-interviews done between now and the time this case is adjudicated, it would be premature for me to speculate on that.
Chief, the fact that one of the rounds entered the suspect, Mr. Ford, in his back will raise a lot of concerns in the community. What do you want to say to that, and how do you believe this autopsy report is consistent or inconsistent with your officer's accounts? Specifically, what's consistent about it?
Well, the officer's account is of a violent struggle where one officer ended up on his back with Mr. Ford on top of him, with Mr. Ford in control of his pistol, his uniform pistol. The officer drew his backup gun and reached over Mr. Ford's back and shot Mr. Ford in very close proximity, probably the cause of the muzzle imprint that's mentioned in the coroner's report. The muzzle imprint is also consistent with the type of weapon used by the officer. The other weapon used in this was a semi-automatic pistol that probably wouldn't leave the same kind of imprint.
Chief, there's obviously going to be people out there are waiting to hear on this report, and they're going to jump on LAPD no matter what it says. Do you want to make a plea to those people to just sort of hold off?
Well, you know, we have a very sophisticated, thorough process for investigating officer-involved shootings. The officers are taken out of the field in certain circumstances, as has happened to them in this case. There is an LAPD investigation that is done in concert with the district attorneys. When an officer-involved shooting occurs, the district attorney sends a rollout team on the night of occurrence. They work hand in glove with the LAPD team to look at possible criminal applications towards the officers. When the LAPD investigation is completed, it goes to a use of force review board, which is made up of senior officers and a peer member who thoroughly evaluate things like tactics, whether or not the officers were justified in merely drawing their weapons, and whether or not the use of force was justified. Then that comes to me, and I review it, and I may disagree or agree with the board's findings. And I have gone both ways in many instances. Then I make a recommendation to the Board of Police Commissioners. At the same time, our Inspector General, who does not work for me, works for the Board of Police Commissioners, reviews the same set of facts and makes his recommendation to the Board of Police Commissioners. They look at both recommendations, and then the case is represented to them. And they, after reviewing my recommendations, the Inspector General's recommendations, and seeing the facts of the case for themselves, make an adjudication. Now, that all occurs at the same time that the district attorney's office looks at it and makes a similar determination regarding a criminal prosecution. So there is a long way to go in this investigation, and nobody is making any predeterminations about whether this shooting is in policy, out of policy, legal or illegal. We are merely presenting the coroner's findings, and I'm trying to give you a fact pattern to show how they fit with the investigation or how they make sense in the investigation so they make more sense to you. I say all that to say, let the system work. You know, I do not support every one of my officer-involved shootings. I'm not that kind of chief. I believe in my police department, but I also believe that we are as good as we can be because we carefully scrutinize what we do. We will find out the truth of what happened on that August night. And we need the public's help. I need witnesses to come forward. We want to find out what happened that night. Because if the officers need support, they need support. If the officers need discipline or criminal prosecution, then they need that. We want to find out the truth. We need the public's help. And violence in the community does not work towards that end.
Chief, can you clarify?
Last two questions over here.
Hey, Chief, in terms of the scrutiny you're talking about and arriving to the point now where you have exhausted this list and getting to the bottom of it as much as you can, how much did what's happening in Ferguson or in New York factor into the delay in the release of the autopsy report to put us now, you know, these many months later?
Well, you know, the main delay in the release of the autopsy report was caused by the unusual circumstance of having the attorney's family claim to have so many witnesses that we had never spoken to. That puts us in a very delicate position because you don't want to release the results of the autopsy and influence those witnesses' statements because the autopsy results can either validate or repudiate those statements. And so you want to keep the statements as clean as possible so they can have a value in the investigation. So, you know, that was the most unusual piece of it. Now, obviously, the heat put on this whole discussion by what happened in Ferguson, the events in what happened in New York, and even the events of last night in 77, you know, make a huge impact on the department's ability to investigate this at a normal pace. You know, we have to, we want to make sure this is done absolutely right. Absolutely right. And B, we want to make sure that the public can appreciate the efforts that we put into this. These are the most complex, the most detailed investigations outside of a homicide that we do. And we believe that we find the truth of the matter, and that's our goal.
Chief, can you clarify, have you interviewed any witnesses, and if so, how many?
Well, there have been multiple witnesses that have been interviewed, but we don't have any direct witnesses to the shooting. We have some heard witnesses, we have some secondhand witnesses, things like that. But as far as a civilian eyewitness to the actual act, no.
Chief, have you been able to determine any relation between last night's incident and everything that's going on with the Gulf War and any other incidents? Not just here, but across.
You know, we have one suspect in custody who is being interviewed at this point. Another suspect still outstanding. Obviously, we have yet to interview that individual. I think it would be very premature for me to ascribe their motivations. I would put forward that we are extremely concerned about the possibility that somebody would target uniformed Los Angeles police officers in a random fashion for events that occurred thousands of miles away, or even events that occurred in the same neighborhood by other individuals. You know, that is a something of extreme concern. But I will also say this. That neighborhood has been marred by gang violence over the last several months, and there have been a significant number of internal gang shootings in that neighborhood.
Thank you, guys.
So one more question. I think it's pretty pertinent. So much has been made of all of these shootings lately, that it's white officers shooting black men.
Well, the Los Angeles Police Department is majority minority. I mean, if you get stopped by two Los Angeles police officers today, the chances of having two white males stop you is pretty remote. We're 44% Hispanic, 13% African American, 20% women. We are a minority of white males, and in this particular case, these were at least half of the team was a minority officer. So, you know, I think that our goal is to provide a police department that looks like the community that it polices, and also polices as much as is humanly possible ignorant of race. I mean, I don't think that should be a factor in the way officers make decisions, and we hold our officers to that standard, and I expect them to follow it.
Thank you
all.
You guys. I have a Spanish speaker available if anybody needs.